Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record, or used to record, right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Today, I record in my house because we are no longer doing the drive-in. We're doing distance learning, and we're doing a whole bunch of things that change and upend the game for educators. And unfortunately, that means sometimes the things that we love, we have to give up. We have to kill our darlings, as William Faulkner once said, and be okay saying goodbye to some things that we might otherwise have loved. Today, I'm going to have a controversial, maybe an uncomfortable for some people conversation. I don't mean to tell you what you are doing is wrong. I'm trying to speak on behalf of educators everywhere, as an instructional coach, as a writer, speaker, author, presenter, as a teacher, as a person who is just trying to make it through himself in this time, and who's leaning in with conversations with people all over the planet as a speaker, presenter, as a writer. Like, a big part of my job is trend spotting. So I want to take my sponge that I've squeezed with all this information and just drop out the best of it, or the freshest of it here, and encourage the conversations to keep happening. So if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment or like or a rating. It really helps people find it, which is great. If you want to talk further, please let's do it. I'm not trying to pick, like I said, I'm not trying to pick fights. I'm just trying to have a conversation, raise a dialogue, even if the dialogue is uncomfortable. So message me on Twitter. Let's have that conversation. I'm on Twitter at @MeehanEDU. Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. Would gladly chat with you anytime about this or about anything teaching related. I have a website. It's adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. I'm fired up to teach and I want to share resources as fast, as free, and as easily as I can. I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush, which is about game-changing student engagements inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And the goal of all of this stuff is to make our classrooms, make our schools, make the education system more fun, more fair, and more free for everybody. So, okay, fine. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Today, I have to have, like I said, this is my own views, not the views of my employer. I do not mean to speak for anyone other than myself, whether those are the people I publish with, the people I've contracted with, or the people that I'm employed by on my day-to-day. But on a personal level, this is John Meehan having a conversation. We have to talk about standardized testing, and particularly we have to have conversations about the AP testing at the end of the school year and the College Board's position to move forward and their decision to do so for the end-of-year AP exams. Now, for those who are not initiated, Advanced Placement is not a new program. It's been around for generations. And it was designed to kind of take the cream of the crop student, the most serious scholars who were serious about pursuing a particular subject matter, and give them the opportunity to earn college credit for taking AP level courses, Advanced Placement courses. Okay, fine. The College Board also monitors the SAT, and they're built for standardized testing. They're a big outfit who does a good job of developing assessments with properly vetted questions and peer-reviewed documents. So by the time it goes live, there's a small likelihood of oversight, mistakes being made, because you've just had so many people making a concerted effort to build a test that is, in some ways, an accurate measure of the best and the brightest. I know when I went to high school myself, I took a bunch of AP classes, AP Environmental Science, AP Literature, AP Music Theory, AP US History, like AP Psychology. I mean, like, these classes were there and we had the option to take them. And then if we wanted to, we could sit at the end of the year and take the end of year exam. That was not required when I was in high school. And some schools still don't have that as a requirement. But many schools, on a condition that you enroll, say if you're enrolled in this class, in order to earn credit for the class, you have to sit for the AP exam. Okay, fine. Except those AP tests cost money, because it takes a lot of time to develop them, to get the right people in the room, to make sure that they're proctored the appropriate way, and to have all the resources, you know, boxed and vetted and controlled. You want to make sure it's done right. So of course there's a cost involved, but that makes sense. And I don't fault people for the decision or the necessity to make money. Like I said, as a teacher, I don't get into teaching to make money. But as an author, you write a book, even though you don't make a lot of money on it, when people hire you to come to their school and talk about your book, or there's a book signing and they, you know, you sell copies of your book, there is money changing hands in this, which does make it ugly no matter how you slice it, because then always the question is about one's intent. But I'm going to presume positive intent through this entire podcast so I don't get into conversations about dollars and cents. That said, AP has decided this year, in light of the unprecedented shutdowns throughout the United States and beyond the world, to allow students wishing to continue taking the AP exams to do so online. Now, the modified exam creates a number of questions, and this is really the purpose of today's podcast, the questions of equity, questions of access, and the questions of, well, now we have to question motivations here too. I understand they spent a lot of time in the development, and like I said, I'm not going to talk about whether it's a money-making scheme or not. I'm not going to do that. I am, however, going to talk about what they have proposed, which is they've taken the tests that were regularly scheduled for starting next week, and they pushed them back a full week. So now the tests will be from May 11th all the way through May 22nd. The tests that previously were in person, like a 90-minute to 2-hour exam, have all been moved to an online exam comprised only of 45 minutes. The way that the AP tests used to work before this year was you sat for the exam, you took it, they're rated on a scale of 1 to 5. If you got a score of 4 or 5, in theory, you would use that as part of your college transcript, as application, and many schools, not all schools, but many schools, would offer you college credit in return for earning a 5 on the AP exams. Except here's where, when you start to do the push and the dig, it starts to fall apart. Over years, what has happened is more schools have started using AP scores to get the best and the brightest into their schools, but then realized, oh my God, if I give credit for an AP level class to count for a 101 level freshman class, now students are coming in with 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 AP classes, and instead of spending 4 years at big state university one, now they're only spending 3.5 years at big state university, or 3 years at big state university. And when big state university only has you for 3.5 years or 4 years, and I know this because I worked in institutional advancement and giving and event promotion, like alumni relations, if you are not a 4-year member of your college, the giving rate to your institution is significantly lower than that which would otherwise have been developed were you there for 4 years. And if you don't believe me, think about the number of people who you wanted to know in your class when you were an undergraduate. Think about the people who came to your undergraduate graduation. Think about the people who in your family threw a big old party because you finally made it out of college. Now, take that same thing and say, what about your graduate program? I don't know about you, but my graduate program was a very simple affair. I literally walked in at the registrar, picked up a copy of my transcript, and I said, hey, I guess this is my graduation. And then they had us walk like 3 months later, and I was like, no, I'm good, thanks. And I decided not to go because the work for my graduate level was for me, right? Everything else was for my family, for my friends, and that social emotional connection because I had been on campus, got to know those kids for 4 years. I partied with them. I played with them. I prayed with them. I cried with them. I laughed with them. I, you know, had friends. I had girlfriends. I had all these people out of my social sphere. Graduate school was, I do this after work, and I do it on my own time, and I don't live on campus, and I take 1 or 2 classes as I can kind of piece them into my otherwise busy schedule. So the number of people I met through graduate school, while they're great professional contacts, does not compare with the social emotional connection that I had in my undergraduate experience, and I don't think that's speaking out of turn. That said, kids who don't go to school for 4 years don't give money to schools that are 4-year schools to the same degree as those who do. And so what has happened over years is AP has started to see a slight downtick, but a significant trend, because more and more colleges are moving away from offering AP credit for courses at all. While you can take an AP class and take an AP test and that will get you noticed by these schools, they're still going to make you sit for that 101 level class because they want to make sure that they get their money too. They want to make sure you're a lifetime donor to Big State University, that you see yourself as an alum of that school, that you make those social emotional connections. And that's not just for money. That's for getting yourself into a space where you feel like you're truly a part of that space. Students who are part of like clubs and activities are less likely to drop out, right? Students who are part of service opportunities or internships are more likely to want to stay there because they feel like they have a community at that school versus somebody who's like, look, I'm just passing through and this is a box to check and I'm going to get my degree and off I go. So schools like Dartmouth, which is not a bad school, have started doing things like, yeah, those AP tests for psychology, we're going to go ahead and not count that. Why? Because in their own data or research, what they're finding is even those students who test out of a 101 level psych class in May with a score of 4 or 5 get to the 101 level psych class in September and don't know the first thing about psychology, can't pass the 101 level freshman exam. That's a problem. So more and more colleges have moved away from this blank check. Oh, you took an AP class? Yeah, fine. also, use the thing that you majored in and find out very quickly. Many students will put themselves down as, I want to major in science, so I took all the science classes in high school. Awesome. They'll gladly move you to more advanced classes in college faster, but they won't waive your science requirements because they want to make sure that you actually are, again, an expert in that field. For me, it was English. You know, I came in with my AP test. I took AP literature and AP language, took my AP scores, and I had fours and fives. Should have tested out of it. They took me out of the 101 level class, but still put me in like the honors level equivalent of 101 because they wanted me to take those classes at my college. It makes sense. So this year, when the whole system is kind of blown up or shut down, they're saying, well, it's a 45-minute test, wishing you the best of luck. If you can get a 4 or 5, congratulations. Colleges will still offer credit, so says the College Board. I would challenge anybody here who currently works at a college, especially in admissions, to give me a call, to give me a shout, or to like post up publicly. Go on record in saying that your school plans on honoring it to the same degree that you would have honored it before. Because I'm going to call shenanigans to tell somebody that which was otherwise a 2 to 3 hour test, which is already of suspect question or quantity or quality. Now I'm going to go ahead and say, kids can take it online for 45 minutes. Yeah. Yep. We'll give them $3,500 or more worth of college level credit if they can just take a 45-minute test from home on their computer. Red flag, red flag. On top of that, College Board has decided, even though anyone who wants to opt out is given the opportunity to opt out for no charge, which is very kind and very good and very just, so it makes it look like they're not after money, anybody else is willing to sit for the exam, quote, for the experience of it, and can still get their college credit because, quote, they've put in the work and worked so hard. So they say they've done a survey of students and the representative sample size, the overwhelming majority is all on board for still taking the test. Yeah, I don't know, man, because when you ask those people, I wonder who you're asking. When I look at the rescheduled AP tests, I'm not happy. First of all, they want to make sure that everyone in the world takes it at the exact same time. So if you're on the East Coast, you're taking it at a very different time than you're taking it in Hawaii. Some as early as 6 a.m. Want to take a test in math at 6 a.m.? How about at 4 p.m. or 6 p.m.? How's that going to go? Want to take a test and do it on a laptop? That's cool if you have a laptop. If you don't worry. You can do it from your phone. Do you want to explain to me how I'm going to scroll up and down on a phone at the same speed I'm going to be able to navigate a whole document on a laptop? Still waiting. Want to figure that one out. Coupled with the fact that some students are going to have home environments that are highly distracted or highly distractible, and other students are going to have places where they may have access to a tutor or an adult to help them, even though we are signing honor statements and saying that every student will, quote, write his or her own responses because it's all written answers instead of multiple choice answers this year, I really have to question the wisdom and the equity of giving an assessment where anybody can be cheating at any time. And because I have like two sticks to rub together and call a fire in my head, I can't imagine that any college who's going to make money off of this will turn around and not ask the same question because if I can figure it out, like the idiot that I am, right? Like, what college is like, well, that kid might have cheated on that test. Oh, well, we're going to give it the same credit that we always would have given it and going to go ahead and say, yep, you've tested out of a $3,500 course for our college, which is going to turn you into a lifetime non-donor. I don't know, man. If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, at a certain point, I got to bring, you know, some stale Wonder Bread and feed it. I do see there's a value in if you put the work in as a student, you want to finish the year out and you want to say that you did it. Great. You ran the race. So do it. But don't do it for any other reason than you wanted to do it. Don't do it under the impression that a college is going to throw money at you, because I think those cases where colleges are throwing money at kids for great scores are already something of an endangered species that will become over time more and more endangered, especially as distance learning becomes a very real option and a very real possibility for a lot of our students. And all that said, when you look at it, what we're looking at then is a test that's left over that said, well, take it to prove you could take it, but that's up to you. Don't ask us to do anything further with it than that. So again, as AP is in a spot now where many teachers, many classes will be interrupted and upended because if a child has a 4 p.m. test on a Tuesday because the internet has to all work at the same time, I can't teach any online classes that day to my students or to that student expecting them to show up and get work done. And unfortunately, as they're being told by counselors or by parents or by friends or by colleges that they have to take more AP classes and have to take more AP classes, those are just more days of lost instruction, more opportunities for them to freak out over high-pressure exams that, spoiler, maybe ultimately won't be worth anything afterwards when they're done. And I feel bad for the kids who put in the work and for the teachers who put in the work and for the systems and the schools who try to support that. So I'm saying be patient with ourselves, give yourselves that perspective, and consider if you're, like I said, a member of the College Board or somebody who's listening from a school, if I'm wrong, please tell me. I just don't think that I am, and I don't have any evidence to say otherwise. But like I said, I would love to hear it, so please message me. I'm on Twitter at @MeehanEDU. We'll talk again tomorrow. Stay safe. God bless you guys. It's a hard time for everybody. I just want to make sure that we're not making it any harder than it needs to be. Stay healthy, and we'll be back here next time. Thanks again.